What do you think, Boston and St. Louis?
Right now, Brent, you're seeing Boston a slight favorite for Game 1 with John Lester going up against Adam Wainwright, who comes in off a huge amount of rest. Minus $1.20, pretty much the prevailing price. You're looking at a total of 7. Good balanced action. If you're looking at Boston for the series, though, you have to lay about 15 to 20 cents more. The Red Sox, about a $1.35, $1.40 favorite, and that's mainly because they'll have home field advantage with Game 6 and Game 7 at Fenway if needed.
All right, let's start with Thursday night football, Kentucky at Mississippi State. Mississippi State favored by 10.
You look at this game, and it's hard to try and figure out what we're going to get out of Kentucky. They have that loss to start the year against Western, but since then they've played teams that nobody really expected them to beat. Louisville, Alabama, South Carolina, Florida. This one much more manageable, and I was surprised to see the number open up at 10, 10.5. I don't trust Mississippi State to score enough. You have two quarterbacks, means you don't have one. Dak Prescott gives them a different element under center, but I have a weird feeling Kentucky is going to play much better football down the stretch. I would lean towards the Wildcats here catching double digits in Starkville.
I don't even know what the Thursday night NFL game. Carolina, Tampa Bay, I think.
Well, I see. I figured you guys want to talk about the real big Thursday night game in Murfreesboro, Middle Tennessee State, 8.5-point home dog.
You know what's funny about that game? There's a lookalike contest going on, Aaron Andrews and Clay Travis.
And who wins that? What's the odds? Prop bets on the side during that.
I'm afraid to know what Clay Travis's lookalikes will be like, but what I'm going to have to do, guys, if you haven't seen it, if you roll into Fox Studios, there's a Neanderthal-like picture of Clay on the side of the building. I'm going to have to snipe a picture, send it to you. It's Clay's head pasted on Petros's body.
I was not there
for
group shots because it was during SEC media days, so I couldn't go out to LA to get the pictures done. So they're like, okay, we're just going to Photoshop you into all of the graphical promotions. And somehow or other, they put my, like, I looked at my picture and I was like, that's funny. They have me in a suit that I don't own and a watch that I don't have. And then we realized that I was on Petros Papadakis, who comes on this show, comes on this station later in the day. I was on his body, and I don't even think they used
my head. Just to clarify, you were on Petros's body?
Yes.
Good for you.
And then I don't even think they used my face. I think they just blanked his face and then just like kind of cut and pasted my face in. It's incredibly scary.
Yeah, it does look like they just kind of stretch your face over, Clay. So we're going to have to send it to Brent and Blaine, and they can post it on the
If you wonder what I would
website.
Look like dead, this is the picture that you want to see.
Oh, jeez.
I look like I'm in a casket.
All right, so what about that middle game?
The middle game, I think it's an interesting contest. When you look at Marshall, clearly the front runner now to win the conference. A little bit surprising how good they've been defensively. And for those people, even Conference USA fans, that haven't seen Rakeem Cato, he's worth his weight in gold. You look at this number, though, 8.5, 9. I'm not sure Middle Tennessee State has enough offense. I'd be actually more inclined to look at the game under the total. But at 56.5, not a ton of wiggle room. My number for this game is 54.
At Todd Furman on Twitter, if you have a question about a game that we don't get to.
Todd, I'm curious, which games did you ask about?
Thursday night games.
Just Thursday night?
Yeah. All right,
Kentucky and Marshall.
And we didn't even hit the NFL, and it doesn't matter.
So I've got the full docket here.
Yeah.
All right, Todd, we were talking about this off-air. I'm curious. Johnny Manziel has the shoulder issue. Vanderbilt's going on the road at Texas A&M. Johnny Manziel is worth how many points in this line? Right now it's sitting around 18 or 17, depending on where you are. If word came that Manziel was not playing, this line is fill in the blank.
For me, before the year, Johnny Manziel was worth 8 points to A&M. Watching A&M each and every week so far this season, he's worth a lot more than that because that defense is nothing short of atrocious, and their ability to get stopped. You watch Matt Jokel go out there, there's some big issues. You're seeing 18, the numbers come down to 17, so maybe some of the professionals getting ahead if Manziel is ruled out here. If he can't go, I think Book should move this number down to that 7.5, 8 range. He makes that much of a difference to Texas A&M's offense, and I think Vandy would have a ton of success moving the football. They'd have the strength of the momentum from the win over Georgia and really believe that it would be a great spot for them to pull off an upset if Johnny football couldn't go.
All right, we were talking about this historically. Where would Manziel rank in terms of his value in college football? There's no doubt that I'm assuming he's the most valuable player individually in college football this year. Where would he rank? This would be a good article, I mean, kind of to dive into past players. Probably most of the time quarterbacks, although maybe in the 60s or 70s it could have been a running back. Where kind of does he rank, you think, all time? Like, what would Tebow have been worth compared to Manziel? Things like that.
Well, here's what's tricky. And you talk about Johnny and his value to A&M, but he is not the most valuable player to his particular team. The guy that was probably the most valuable was Chucky Keaton to Utah State. you've seen their power numbers adjust 10.5 to 11 points.
Oh, wow.
With his absence. And that's more to the program than anything else. They just don't have, you know, a guy that's capable to step in. Tim Tebow in his prime, you talk about what he meant to Florida. He would have been right in that Johnny Manziel range, 7.5 to 8 points. But historically, you have to find those NFL-caliber quarterbacks that were playing for mid-major programs. So you're talking about guys like Ben Roethlisberger at Miami of Ohio. You're talking about Byron Leftwich at Marshall and players along those lines. When you look at the power programs, even if the star quarterback can't go, you do have running backs, you do have wide receivers, and guys in both trenches that can pick up a little bit of the responsibility.
Tennessee, Alabama. The line has moved some places to Alabama more than a 4-touchdown favorite. What are you seeing in that one?
Yeah, this number out to 28. I think Tennessee is a team that a lot of us thought could improve, but Alabama's defense is a different animal. You back out that 42 points they gave up to Texas A&M. They've given up a total of 26 points in six games. I don't think Tennessee is going to have a whole lot of success moving the ball in this one, but I'm not sure you're going to get an Alabama team that's 100% focused after some of these blowouts they've had lately. Sure, the Tennessee win over South Carolina will get their attention, but I think the Vols come in playing with confidence. They're 3-1 against the number this year as an underdog. The unfortunate part for them, the team they didn't cover against, the number 2-ranked Oregon Ducks. I just think this game has a slower pace and tempo to it, and Tennessee wouldn't be surprised if they end up losing this game by 21-24 instead.
Ah, nice. Right up our alley there,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Clay disagrees. Blaine and I agree.
He has a nice little smile on his face.
At Todd Furman on Twitter.
Yes, well, I'm going to go, you know, stick with the BCS, and I want to ask you questions about Alabama versus Florida State, Oregon, and as well as Ohio State. What would be the odds with all those in the championship?
When you're looking at Alabama right now, they've kind of, I won't say distanced themselves from the field, but they are the clear-cut number one as far as power ratings are concerned. If they were to play Oregon in the national title, you're looking at Alabama, a three-point favorite right now. Against Florida State, that number goes a little bit higher. Some guys have said that they would use a 4. I'd be much more inclined to use a 6, 6.5. I just think Jameis Winston might get confused quite a bit against an Alabama defense that had that much time to prepare. And then you have a major drop from Alabama to take on Ohio State. That number would look somewhere in the range of 12.5 to 13 and would yet again be a national championship that wouldn't be competitive beyond the first quarter. The Buckeyes just don't stack up against any of the top three teams. There really is a huge divide, power number-wise, guys. Alabama, Oregon, Florida State, and then everybody else in the country.
Wow. Yeah, that's okay, JT. Well, what about Mizzou and Alabama in the SEC championship?
Mizzou and Alabama, Missouri, they put together a great season, and they continue to improve their profile. They would be about a 2-touchdown underdog. So you're talking about Alabama in that 14 to 14.5 range against Missouri. Again, a real intriguing matchup. But, guys, I'm not ready to pencil Mizzou in just yet. I know Clay is very high on this football team, but I think they go down this week at home to South Carolina.
What's the line on that game?
You're looking at Missouri, a three-point favorite right now. There was some sharp money that came in on the dog, and really believe, given the primetime slot at 6 o'clock Central, 7 Eastern, most of the sports books will be rooting for South Carolina, very similar to the spot they were in last week, rooting for Florida State against Clemson.
Well, since we're talking about Johnny and all the great players, where's the Heisman race at right now?
Heisman race is interesting. Last week, for example, you had a couple offshore books open up Marcus Mariota at 10 to 11, meaning you'd have to put up $1.10 to win $1, and you could bet everyone in the field and only have to put up $13 to win 10. This week, they pulled Mariota's numbers down quite a bit, and they opened up Jameis Winston at with the exact same price. Mm-hmm. That number lasted about 15 to 20 minutes, and you had a ton of money come pouring in on the field. I think at this point, guys, the race is still so wide open, but the dark horse to keep your eye on, who will throw his name into the conversation this weekend with a good performance, Sean Mannion at Oregon State. He beat Stanford, those 25-2 or whatever his touchdown-interception ratio is that continues to improve. He's a guy that may be a force if Oregon State can be 10-1 potentially playing Oregon for their final game of the year.
That's a game that is getting a lot of attention, the Stanford game, right? It's a late-night game. A lot of people on the East Coast haven't seen Mannion play. That game has dropped down to 3.5 or 4, right? Stanford really on upset alert.
Yeah, you've seen this number. Stanford opened 6, 6.5, Clay, and it is down to 3.5 now. The problem I have backing Oregon State against the physical defense in Stanford, they can't run the football at all. They average 73 yards per game on the ground. And if Mannion's going to drop back and try and throw 50 to 60 times, these Stanford linebackers and D linemen are going to pin their ears back. And I think it's just a real tough matchup. The fact that the public wants to run and back Oregon State here, too, also cause for concern. For whatever reason, people are down on Stanford, but there's still top five talent on that roster that David Shaw has built up there in Northern California.
Well, since we're in the West Coast, UCLA and Oregon, that's a big matchup as well.
This number actually opened a little bit short. It opened at right around 17, 17 and a half. It's ballooned out to 23. Ooh. There was some resistance there, though, some money coming in on UCLA. You look at Oregon, they've basically blown everybody out, but some cause for concern. I know there was some noise in the numbers last week against Washington State, but they have allowed, you know, 62 points the last 2 weeks. And I think UCLA, if they're not hung over from the loss to Stanford, Brett Hundley can make enough plays. I actually think UCLA can keep this game close. We've seen Oregon have hiccups the last couple of years in games they should win. I don't know if this will be the case, but I don't think it'll be as comfortable as Duck fans would like.
Well, in the Big 12, lastly for me, Texas Tech now there in the top 10 at number 10 against Oklahoma, number 15.
Oh, don't get me started on Texas Tech. This is a team I don't think deserves to be in the top 35 in the country, Blaine.
Thank you.
You look at Tech and what they've accomplished. Yes, 7-0 is great, and I know Clay's man crush, Cliff Kingsbury, has done a heck of a job getting them to play defense. But their schedule gets awfully daunting. It wouldn't shock me in the least if they lose their next five games. You're looking at Tech playing the number one passing defense in the entire country in Oklahoma. I just think the Sooners are going to be running downhill all game long. Number at 6.5, about 6 points too short for me. OU makes a big statement and gets revenge for the loss in Norman 2 years ago, where they lost as four-touchdown favorites, 41-38.
Well, speaking of that, you were talking about Mignonette with Oregon State. Who's left on their schedule after this?
Oregon State still have quite a bit left to do in terms of going through conference. They do close the season like they do every year with Oregon. And I'm looking at some their schedule right now. I mean, you still have tough games within the conference against USC, a road trip to Arizona State, home against Washington. So they get into the meat of their schedule, the final five games. And like I said, if they're 10-1 going into that Oregon game, Mannion will be right at the top of a lot of people's ballots.
Real quick, Texas with the big win over Oklahoma. They're at TCU. TCU, a two-point favorite at home.
Yeah, this number's a little curious. I actually make Texas a short favorite here, but it almost feels like it's too good to be true, and it's not often you'll hear me say that. TCU has been a nightmare on offense, but I think they can pose enough problems defensively for this Texas team who may be too busy reading their press clippings. The worst thing to happen to Texas was taking the week off after beating OU. I think they lose a lot of that momentum. TCU, the much bigger game for them within the conference. I think TCU's the side here as a 1.5, 2-point favorite.
At Todd Furman on Twitter. Todd, thanks, man.
Always a pleasure, guys.
All right, Todd Furman, every Wednesday at 4:30. We'll be right back. 104.5 The Zone.